Hi everyone, this is Brown Eyed Girl, and just dropping in. I know it's been a little bit before I have made a podcast. It's been a while actually, and I want to introduce you guys to, I have my counterpart here, and we're going to be talking about a few things today, and just things that have been going on in the world, and we just really kind of want to just kind of talk about it and just kind of get everyone's perspective, and I'm just going to let her introduce herself.
Hello, I am Carmen. You might know me from Loving FFL. Some people are following me over there at LOVINGFFL. Other than that, I go by Carmen.
So, Miss Carmen, I know that you called me, or actually you texted me last night when the Meghan Markle interview went on. Like, that was crazy.
Yes.
It was so good. Todd and I, my husband and I, we had snacks. Because it was just that good. So what was your biggest takeaway, I think, from like the whole interview in general? What do you think?
Mine's was, I look at the royal family completely differently now. I have no reason not to believe Harry and Meghan. And everything that they've said is complete. I can believe everything they've said. So my thing is, I think the biggest thing that disturbed me was probably the same thing that disturbed Oprah, mm-hmm. was the discussion of the child's skin color, like
right.
that really mattered.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Still a little baffled by that one. But that was the highlight for me, I would have to say.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me, it would also, and I see that it's something that really bothered Meghan. Not that that didn't, that I'm sure that was the straw that broke the camel's back for sure. But for me, is the whole story about her making Kate cry. And they know for a fact that she didn't, and didn't go and protect her, knowing that the paparazzi and all of the blogs and all of those people were raking Meghan over the coals. She knew that it was hurting her, but was more concerned about how it would make Kate look.
Right.
That was insane. Like, girl, bye. Like,
and it's like, why?
That's nuts.
Is it because, what's the reason? Had this been a British white woman,
mm-hmm.
would the same thing have happened?
Right.
I don't really know.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Do you do it based on who we like the most,
mm-hmm.
or is it just because she's not British and
mm-hmm.
she's not,
and she's biracial.
White?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And she's not even really she is biracial.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering that her dad is white and her mom is black, so she's absolutely 50-50. I think what's interesting about them concerned about the baby is that because she is biracial and Harry is white, not that the child can't come out darker, because
mm-hmm.
it absolutely can happen. More likely than not, he still would have not been dark.
Right.
And the fact that they were concerned about that is great.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And when the little baby girl comes, what if the baby girl takes after her grandmother and comes out a little bit darker? What then? What are we doing now?
What are we doing? What was the purpose of that discussion, though, is what
horrible,
I don't know.
Horrible.
We're having this discussion because of what?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to hide the baby?
Right.
If that happens?
What was the
are
plan?
Is this not
mm-hmm.
going, we're not going to claim the baby as
mm-hmm.
a grandson?
Right.
Or
a granddaughter?
A nephew?
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan?
What
was the plan of that conversation?
And I think so, also, too, like for William, I now know, when I watched The Crown, and I've been watching The Crown, and I told you, you watch The Crown, you'll get a good understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There is an establishment, right? Because I've watched the Queen have ideas on the crown and then have the establishment be like, nah, we're not doing
well,
like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was very thrown by that because I thought when you're the Queen,
you can do
whatever you want to do.
Well, apparently
I was confused by how that whole thing.
And I think it's a male thing too, because when her dad died and he was king, right? And when
mm-hmm.
he died,
mm-hmm.
what he said went. Although I do, that's actually not true. There are parts where he actually had to get approval from the establishment as well. So that's actually not quite true. They really just get these people as the face of the monarchy, apparently. And it's really shocking. But I think for me, what's so egregious is that William, who knows what he and his brothers have gone through in the past, is not even man enough to stand up and say, nah, we're not doing that. I mean, you just got to love Harry and how he has
right.
his own convictions. He is like, William looks like mom, but he is mom.
Right.
Exactly. William looks just like Diana, but Harry is her reincarnated for sure.
Exactly. That's what I didn't get either. I'm just like, and what was interesting to me is, and I'm not sure if this was right, I tried to Google what is the firm? You know, why is that so different from the queen? Because I thought the queen was the boss. And apparently she's not the boss. Mm-hmm. But then it listed like the firm of eight. And then it would list these names. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so Prince William's on there. Mm-hmm. Kate was on there. Prince Charles was on there. And there was a few other people because there was eight of them. Mm-hmm. So I was just baffled as
that's not the establishment.
But so what's the difference between the establishment and the firm?
I think it's the same. But when they list those people, that's not who make the decisions.
They're making the decisions?
The people in the background. That's what I'm talking about. The firm, the establishment, which we don't know.
And who
which is why he couldn't
name
them.
Who decides who
they've
that
been,
is?
Apparently, these people have had this role for years, right? This is an ongoing
So these
thing.
Can be like 90-year-old
Absolutely. Old
so
70, 80-year-old white males.
That is. So the firm is different from the establishment.
I think it's all the same. I think the establishment, the firm, I think it depends on how you're wording it. I can just say that there's the family, and then there's the establishment.
And the eight people in the firm don't have a lot of say, I'm assuming.
Apparently
then.
Not. Apparently
and then there's
not.
People above them.
They said in the interview, he called them advisors. That's their title. They're advisors.
So
they
these
do advise
advisors could come from the 1900s.
Absolutely.
And they're just stuck in their ways.
Right.
Okay.
Stuck in their ways, stuck with tradition.
So I was thinking when I was Googling that was the eight people were the people coming up with all these decisions. I said, well, that's your brother and your sister-in-law and that's your dad. So why aren't they taking up for you?
Right.
So apparently that's not them then. So I'm very confused about how all this works. So the establishment, I guess, decides how everything should be run if you're a king and queen of England.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that you should and should not do as king and queen, which baffles me because if I'm the queen, then what can I do?
She's the face. So it's
why
funny.
Why am I the queen if I don't have any control over anything?
Well, it's funny you said that because this is a quote from Oprah last night. She says, but what is this institution and how does it operate? And sometimes referred to as the firm. That's why I told you the firm and institution are the same. The monarchy works like a public body or government department, albeit one that is completely independent. They're completely independent. Now, the head of it is the queen. And below her comes a strict hierarchy based on the line of succession, which is at present that runs down from Prince Charles, Prince William, Duke of Cambridge, his children, George, Charlotte, Louis, and then Prince Harry. That's supposed to be the hierarchy. But apparently there's a set of advisors that really do the decision making when
which,
it comes
which
to
are
everything.
Not Prince William and Kate
Correct.
And Prince Charles. So that's not them. Okay, that's where I was
But
confused.
They said there are thousands of people working behind the scenes to keep the royal household running smoothly. And that is just not, we're not just talking about, you know, the everyday running of the house, but just some of the world decisions that are made. Mm-hmm. There are people in the background that we'll never know that run the whole thing. And it's been like that forever.
No wonder I was so confused.
I mean, that has to be so. Because what grandmother would treat her grandson that way, right? It had to have been a working entity behind the scenes, which makes sense because, let's be real, it's funny how the queen took all of that crap that we gave her when Lady Di died because we thought it was her. Looking back on it and knowing what we know now, it could have been the establishment.
Right.
Because Harry loves his grandmother. Why would he have so much love for his grandmother if he felt that his grandmother was responsible for all the horrible things that happened to his mother? Now, let's be real. We all know that the grandmother wanted Diana married to her son because, you know, Diana was beautiful and Camille is not. But that's not where his daddy was. His daddy loved that woman. What her love? She's interesting. She's interesting to the eye. But it makes sense why he would still love his grandmother and have respect for her and never say anything negative because he knows who was really behind the scenes making the decision in regards to his mom.
Right.
That now makes sense. Had we not known that, we could have because there's a lot of people who hate the queen, you know, here in the United States because we thought she was responsible for the Lady Di situation, but come to find out, how she was treated was above her.
I'm just baffled that she has no control over the institution at all.
And you see how when Harry called and said, okay, we're on our way, because she invited them to have lunch and dinner with her, whatever, and then she called back and said, oh, my schedule is booked all week.
Right,
he was like, but Oprah asked him how he felt. He's like, I knew what that was about. Again, the establishment.
Exactly.
They can tell you to disown your grandchild? That's crazy. I don't think we understand how deep this is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And at what point does the establishment change? Because those people have to die off at some point.
At some point.
And then who replaces them, and who decides who replaces them? Who makes the decision on who is replacing the establishment as they die off, I guess?
That's a 2020 question. That's something that we are unaware of. But I think it's really good conversation. It's something that we can keep deep diving in, and let's just see what falls out.
Right.
Yep. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We just wanted to get with you guys for a few minutes and give our two cents on it. And maybe we can keep this as an ongoing convo. Talk to you later. Bye.